of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this 8th day of December 2016. Talking with Al Whitney, Defense of Humanity, that's on this network from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I'm serious. What I dropped in your ear there, Al, is here we have to pay a business tax in Williamson County for the corporation. And a couple of years ago, I went to the county tax assessor's office, sat down with a very nice individual, and I asked him, I said, what is this tax? And they explained, oh, it's a business tax. And I go, oh, okay, but you're taxing equipment that I've already bought and paid for, paid the taxes on it, so you're rolling in behind that, taxing me for the use because I have a business? Yeah, that's it. I said, okay, so exactly what do you people do for me? And they couldn't come up with an answer. I said, so this is a plain case of taxation without any kind of, you know, reciprocity, taxation without any representation, right?
Okay, let me give you an example, and I don't know enough about the paperwork that was exchanged.
But let me finish the story.
Okay.
Then they have their own Williamson County team law team it's a private lawyer's firm that sent me a letter threatening to foreclose my business if I don't pay that tax. How in God's green earth does a lawyer foreclose on a business?
Okay. Can I answer
that? Yeah. Now you can. Now that I got all of it out.
Okay, good. Let me give you an example. And this may apply or not to you because I don't know what paperwork you've signed already. But a friend in California had a business and they have a new permit. And they said, as a business owner in this city, we want you to buy this permit. Well, her business, and they want her to renew her business license. So I was talking to her and I said, you aren't under any obligation. They ask you to renew the license because that keeps the obligation going.
Right.
And that's, once you renew it, the obligation remains and then they can come at you with the other thing. So why don't you ask them to show you, and we have that letter, incidentally, in Lawfully Yours, which is a people's guide to our corporate commercial legal system. It's on the Anti-Corruption Society webpage. So she sent them the letter saying she appreciated that they sent her this notice of them wanting her to apply for a new permit, and could they please send her a copy of a contract that she had signed. Okay, that obligated to her to their rules.
and
they responded by sending her the name and number of the rule. Well, we passed such and such a rule on such and such a date. So she sent them back a letter saying, thanks for letting me know. I'm glad to see that your corporation is passing rules. However, you failed to answer my question. What obligates me, what have I signed, what contract have I signed with your corporation that obligates me to these rules? Well, the next letter she got was from a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And the law firm says, if you don't fill out this application, we're going to fine you $500 or $1,000.
Now they're threatening, on top of they've got no basis for doing this, now they're threatening you.
Correct. So she ignored the lawyer. But she could have sent them a letter saying, I never said I wouldn't pay. All I'm asking for is a copy of the contract that obligates me to follow your rules. As soon as I get that, I'll be happy to work with you. Well, guess what? They don't have one. It turns out she had a business license, but she let it expire. And when she didn't renew it, there was no contract in place.
Guess what? It's the same damn thing I did. I let then, everything lapse.
Yes. Well, then there's no contract that they can enforce because you're not under a contractual obligation. Once you understand it's a corporation, then you understand there has to be contracts.
But the pucker factor is there. Anytime,
oh, yeah, they do that.
Anytime anybody gets a letter from a law firm, well, your number one assumption is you've done something wrong, and if you ignore these fine people, that it's going to cost you one hell of a lot more than what they're asking you for right now.
That's why you don't ignore them. You say this is not a refusal to pay.
Ah.
This is a freedom of information request. Please send me a copy of the document that I signed that obligates me.
So is there a term that's used for that? That there's some kind of compliance there or voluntary?
Well, what you're doing is you're asking for a copy of the contract that obligates you. Now, if you remember the Clearfield Doctrine, I don't know if anyone's ever talked about the Clearfield Doctrine on your show. But that was a real important decision in 1942, okay? It was super important. In 1942, the Supreme Court heard and made a decision on Clearfield Trust versus the United States. And what they determined is, whereas defined pursuant to Supreme Court annotated statute, Clearfield Trust and Company versus United States, quote, governments descend to the level of a mere private corporation and take on the characteristics of a mere private corporation where private, corporate, commercial paper and securities is concerned. For purposes of suit, such corporations and individuals are regarded as entities entirely separate from government. What is the corporate commercial paper that they're using, John? Federal Reserve notes.
They own it all, including you, by way of toxic currency.
That's right. It's a corporate private commercial script. Therefore, they're obligated under these commercial rules, and these commercial rules require contracts. What the Clearfield Doctrine is saying, that when private commercial paper is used by corporate government, which is what we've got, then government loses its sovereignty status and becomes no different than a mere private corporation. As such, government then becomes bound by the rules and laws that govern private corporation, which means if they intend to compel an individual to some specific performance based upon their corporate statutes or corporation rules, then the government, like any private corporation, must be the holder in due course of a contract or other commercial agreement between it and the one upon whom demands for performance are being made. There you go. That's what you get when you have a private commercial script. You get a corporate structure based on contract law.
Well, and we're now seeing, whether it's here in this country in Federal Reserve notes or whatever country, as long as you've got the asshat middlemen people that claim that, that's our banking script, and, you know, I'm looking at this. You know, it is so bad over in Greece that these people, they did bailouts. Of course, the banks got money from through the government, and then they put it on the taxpayer or the citizen out there to be good for these loans, because we all know we don't make loans that are unsecured. But then it went a step further. Then they told people that, look, you know, we may from time to time take money out of your business account or maybe even your personal account to satisfy the debts of the bank. Even though people consider it to be their money, not the bank's, they'll look at their bank account. They had, say, 5,000 drachmas in there today. They turn around, they get 1,000 tomorrow. And they go, yeah. Well, wait a minute here. Oh, no, we necessarily had to do that to stay solvent.
Well, Well, a lot of people don't, you know, I hear people talk about the dollar all the time, but when we break it down step by step, it becomes a little clear. You have a Federal Reserve note that was put in place in 1933 when they took all the gold, right? That's what Ronald McDonald says all the time.
Right.
But it's a private currency because the Federal Reserve is a private cabal of bankers. So this is a private currency. Now, what did they do at Bretton Woods? They managed to convince the world to make this private currency the world reserve currency. All of a sudden, this private currency is traveling all over the world and it's called the dollar. What a coup that was for the Rothschild cartel. And then along comes the petrodollar in the 70s. Now they want to price petroleum connected to the price of a dollar. Another coup for the central banking cartel. So look how far that he's managed, the Rothschild dynasty has managed to get that private commercial script circulating across the planet.
Well,
astounding.
In Canada, I don't know if you're aware of what Rocco Galati has been doing, filing suit and been turned down and called frivolous, but he kept up with the paperwork. He's one of their bar card holding attorneys up there in Canada. And he's suing the Canadian government because in 1974 they took the public Canadian bank and privatized it.
There you go.
And before then, I mean, folks, have you ever wondered where countries come up with the financing to do mega projects? You know, it costs a lot of lives and it costs a lot of money for us to build the Panama Canal that Jimmy Carter gave to the Panamanians back in 1999. Thanks, Jimmy, for that. But St. Lawrence Seaway, that was a pretty big building project. They would have never been able to do it if they did not get a loan through that public bank at zero interest. Never would have been able to do it. Oh, they also did something else, Al. They just happened to build this little road called the Canadian Highway from one coast to the other. I mean, I don't even know the price tag on that one. But, you know, here we are in this country. Al, what are you always told is American dream? To be a homeowner?
Go to
work 40 hours a week, you know, have families, make other little tax revenue agents there. Oh, I'm sorry, your children.
And take a little vacation every year.
Yeah,
you know?
Take a couple of weeks or maybe you even get a month, but now you're right back in. But it's homeownership.
Right.
That's the American dream. That's where our castle doctrine is. That's where a lot of rights come from, property. And you being on that little parcel of land, you are the king of your own castle, and nobody dares cross that threshold for evil intent or to rob, ridicule, kill you, whatever. They've got to have, we have legal procedures, we have paperwork, evidence has to be given, warrants to be issued, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, they threw that out the window. But, you know, I'm looking at this, and here's what really gets people. And when we tell them this, they would scoff at us and go, well, you're one of those conspiracy theorists. Okay, do a 30-year mortgage with a bank. After 30 years, you finally got it paid off. The property that it sits on, obviously, that was rolled into the loan. Or you might have owned some property prior to building that home that you borrowed all that interest-laden money with. But at the end of this 30 years, you're into your twilight, you're going to kick back, you're going to enjoy, you're going to bring the grandbabies over, you're going to have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and everything is going to be wonderful, and Grandma is going to be in the kitchen baking cookies and baking cinnamon cross buns. Everything is just going to be fine. Well, okay, something happens. Well, you keep getting this property tax bill every year. And you go, well, wait a minute, I can't pay that. I don't have enough on my fixed income or my Social Security. Or I did have a pension, but I'm sorry, it disappeared when the bankers robbed us back in 08. But wait a minute here, stop. Do not foreclose on my property. That's not going to stop them. They will sell that property and the house that it sits on to satisfy their tax bill. Now, tell me about the property rights. Tell me how you're secure in your person, place, or things.
Well, I do agree with you. There's a wonderful chapter. It gets quite complex when it talks about property rights. Melvin Stamper is an attorney. He was a law professor. He worked for the government. He woke up to the fact something was terribly wrong, and he started doing research. He wrote the book called Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, where he exposed pretty much everything I expose. I just love that book, so I'm going to recommend it to all your listeners, Fruit from a Poisonous Tree by Melvin Stamper. It will really wake you up. He's got a whole chapter on the game that they played regarding property ownership. So if that's where you're really interested, start reading. A whole song and dance has gone on regarding allodial title, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it goes back to the bankruptcy of 1933, where what they did to get themselves out of hock was they hypothecated all the property and assets of the country to the bankers. That includes your income, making you pay taxes. That includes our national parks. That includes all land. They hypothecated all the assets and resources to the international bankers back in 33. And I can prove that based on James Traficant. Remember good old Jim Traficant from Ohio, who's now deceased?
He's one of the first politicians I ever interviewed.
Exactly. Well, he did a speech on the floor of Congress in 1993 explaining that the country went bankrupt and they hypothecated all the people, all the assets, and started the permanent state of national emergency. I think they got him out of Congress pretty soon after that speech because he really blew the whistle. We have a copy of that, incidentally.
He did more than that.
He did.
Yeah, and part of the deal was with foreclosures on homes, and, the biggie was the IRS. You know, if you don't pay your IRS taxes, you know, we can come and take your property. Right. Well, after he got done with them, he whacked out about 92% of their profit-taking.
Wow.
Yeah, and, Jim Traficant made mortal enemies. So what did they do? They set the guy up. They sent him to prison for 7 years. After he was cooling his heels in the old jug there for a couple of years, they made him an offer. And I'm sure an offer that they thought he wouldn't refuse. That, look, Jim, you know, you're a nice guy and all that, but, you know, hey, we're going to let you out here. We're going to put you on parole. He said, no, you're not going to put me on parole. I will spend every stinking day of my sentence. I am taking no deals from you people. And once I get out, I'm going to have 7 years of pent-up pissosity here that I'm going to unleash. Well, how long did the man stay alive after he was released from prison?
I don't remember.
Oh, that's right. He just rolled over on his tractor and killed himself.
Yeah.
And I'm a Chinese jet pilot. I think sometimes, Al, the people don't want to know. They really don't want to know the level of corruption, the criminality that's being foisted upon them. They don't want to look at it because, first of all, they don't want to be scared. And second of which, if somebody, a criminal, is doing that kind of damage, then that criminal must be stopped. Oh, but what's it going to take to stop them? What kind of list am I going to be put on? Am I going to be put on some anti-government list? I love what the FBI did about a year and a half ago, started telling all law enforcement in this country that, you know what, there's about 300,000 of these sovereign citizens running around this country, and they're all loaded for bear. And on a routine traffic stop, these people would much rather shoot you down in the street like a dog than to even talk to you. When I started seeing this kind of, and Al, help me here, because I can't even think of a proper word. I can't even think of an adjective to describe what these creatures are.
They're criminal.
You're damn right they are.
They're pirates.
Perfect. Pirates.
Yep.
Taking the booty that doesn't belong to them, they plunder, and if you resist, we'll just ram a cannonball up your butt. How's that one?
Imagine a pill. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me on what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day. Someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas. She says, what? I said, Texas.
Well, let me go to California with a guy that decided to pass Texas and go to the God's Waiting Room, Florida. Steve in California.
You're not going to let me forget that.
I never, never, ever am I going
to
let him.
I know he wants me to come out to Texas and join him.
Well,
hey, Al, I got a question for you here. And John and I have talked about this before. The whole scam of licensure, professional licensure. I'm in the medical field, and I have to apply for a license every 2 years. This is a scam because I took a national board. I think I believe, aren't you a respiratory therapist by trade in the past?
Yeah. I'm retired, but yeah. I was.
Right. So you understand what I'm talking about here. You have to do years probably every 2 years also. But so you take a national board in the field that you're in, which covers every state, but then you go to another state, and then you have to have a license for that state. Now, I mean, it's a scam. I mean, John and I agreed on this. That's a major scam, and it's in every industry. It's just a source of revenue. Is there any way to opt out of that? at all and continue with your profession or not?
That's really going to be difficult, and I'll tell you why. My husband's a retired physician. You can challenge it if you feel brave, but what they've done is, for instance, if my husband wants to prescribe a medicine, the pharmacist will not fill the prescription unless he's got an active license. If he wants to order an x-ray, the hospital that does the x-rays will not perform the x-ray unless he's got a license that's active. So what they've done is they've set up the system so that if you don't abide by the licensure, the resources that you need to do your job will be shut off from you. However, I do think there's ways to challenge that, and I have been working with my husband trying to come up with ways to challenge that, because, again, they're all corporations. The individual who's licensing you in the state of is a corporation. The state of is a corporation, bound by the laws of contract. So we may have to use some creative thinking here, but I think we should do so once we get that it's the state is a corporation, the medical board is a division of that corporation. You can start to see ways to make that challenge.
But you know what's funny is that the licensure itself does not maintain or reassure competency at all. It's just a source of revenue.
Well,
now,
it does.
It's a source of competency, I could understand, but it doesn't. You can go all over the place. You could be a total a lousy employee, a terrible, terrible nurse, and dangerous, but, you know, it's not telling you competency.
No, but it does keep you in line. In other words, there was a physician in California who decided to give a medical exemption to this child who had been injured by vaccines, and he made the exemption all vaccines for the childhood, you know?
Right.
Well, the state licensure board has gone after him, and they want to take his license.
Right. Well, I'll tell you.
Because he's not practicing standard of care, and that's they also use it as a control mechanism.
Well, Steve, exactly. The good news is when you get down to God's waiting room down there and you want to challenge the medical profession about this licensing and getting permission from the corporation every 2 years, while you're fighting that and they prevent you from doing your medical career thing, your vocation of choice, you can always open up a gator farm or something down there in Florida. All right?
That's an idea.
There you go. Bypass Texas and bypass this now. How dare you? God. See, we need people like you.
Yeah,
see,
we do.
Here's the point, Steve. We need people like you. You've had a little bit of radio experience. You're expanding your horizons. You'd be real good as a radio talk show host.
Well, give me that 1 year, John, and I'll be talking to you.
All right. What are you, retiring?
Maybe then. Maybe I can.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Steve. Perfect timing. Segue to a commercial. By the way, this 12-minute and 32-second argument with a judge here, is that good audio?
Yes.
It is? Can we play that?
Oh, I'd love it.
Okay, well, let's do that after the break. My guest today, Al Whitney, she's one of ours, folks, Defense of Humanity. Her program is on Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Expand your horizons.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and-lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak. And
all right, we're back. Al, I'm going to play this. This guy's name...
I don't know that they'll understand what it is if I don't say a few words. Is that okay?
Well, he should have opened up your pot so you could have been in my ear telling me that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not your fault.
Okay. Okay, this guy is in a statutory court. That's what our courts are. They're all enforcing statutes of the corporation, right? The county, the city, the state, whatever. So he's in a statutory court, and he's being charged. Now, in a statutory court, they're charging the person, the legal person, which is the all caps name. That's all they have control over. So they want him to represent the legal person when he goes into this court, and then they can inflict all their punishment on him. Well, it turns out that he knew that game and had filed UCC paperwork trying to separate himself as a living flesh and blood man from the legal corporate person. Now, the judge doesn't have any jurisdiction over the living flesh and blood man, so he needs this guy to volunteer to admit for the record that he is there as the legal fiction person. And when you hear what he says, you will see that's what the judge is doing, and he's trying to put pressure on and trick this guy.
All right, so this is reality TV minus the images, so let's call it reality radio. Here's right. Mr. Hall in a judge's courtroom down in Florida.
David Hall.
Mr. Hall has declined the services of the public defender, Your Honor.
Mr. Hall, DUI, expired driver's license.
Good morning, Judge. Judge, I need to say how I'm appearing today, sir.
Hold on, wait. Let me finish. Hold on.
Wait, where are they holding us at? A coffee shop? Why is it so noisy?
You've been charged with DUI, expired tag, attaching a plate not assigned, license suspended, failed to drive in a single lane. Just give me a moment, sir. Let me look at your driving record. Okay.
Sir, I haven't said for the court how I'm appearing today,
well,
sir.
I'm not asking you yet. Just give me a moment, all right? I need to look at your record. Okay, I'm looking here. Failure to pay traffic tickets.
Ooh.
Back 2011. Open container. Okay. All right, sir. Hold on. Does this gentleman, Mr. David Hall, does he have any criminal record?
Yes, Judge, and he also has pending felony DWLSs in front
okay,
of
okay, what's the pending felony DWLS?
Usan. Okay, there's a few. One second.
I'll give you a moment to talk in just a moment, sir. Hold on, Mr. Hall.
The pending felony is 14016582CF10A.
Okay.
He also has pending misdemeanor DWLSs.
What is that? What are they?
Judge Evans, case number 053909 TC30A.
TC30A, okay.
And that's it.
That's it?
And your criminal history.
Okay. Now, Mr. Hall, sir, would you like me to say something?
Yes, may I speak, Judge?
Well, don't tell me about what happened or did not happen regarding the DUI, but if you want to tell me about something...
I'd like to state some things.
Go ahead.
I'd like to state some things for the record. Thank you, Judge. Judge John Hurley, I do accept your oath of office here today for the record, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Does this court take judicial notice of your oath, sir, with all due respect?
Let me see. I take judicial notice of my own oath. Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Sir, today I'm appearing as the agent and settler for David Hall.
Okay. Okay. Could you get Mr. Hall for me then, sir? Where is he?
I go by that name, sir. My name sounds exactly like the defendant's, and I'm here to settle that matter today.
So are you and David Hall one and the same person?
I'm not a person. I'm an individual. David Hall is a person.
Okay.
I am
are
the agent to that
name. Are you and David
name.
Hall one and the same individual?
Yeah.
I go by the name David Hall, sir, and
okay.
I'm here about that matter today.
Okay. So you go by the name David Hall. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. The person who goes by the name of David Hall is standing in front of
you. I'm the individual. I am an individual, not a person.
You're not a person.
Yes, sir. David Hall is a person. I am a private individual. David Hall is a person under color of law, sir.
Okay. Where's David Hall, then? The person David Hall?
Exists on paper, sir. David Hall is a corporation. This action is under color of law, sir, and I do understand that. I am here in my real capacity as the private individual for that name.
Okay,
and I'm here about that matter.
You're the
and
private.
I'm happy to settle
you're the
it.
Private individual, David Hall.
I'm the settler, sir.
You're the settler,
I'm the settler.
David Hall.
I'm the settler too, David Hall, sir.
Are you the private individual,
to...
David Hall?
Yes.
Good. Okay, we got that straight. We agree on that. Okay. Now, David
May
Hall,
I, sir?
David Hall, the private individual. I'm looking at your driving record right now. Multiple failures to pay traffic tickets. For the individual, David Hall, not the person. But, sir, what I'm going to
do... Can you clarify? Sir,
I'm
not sure I understand that, but I'm happy to settle this matter right now if somebody will make presentments. Nobody has made presentment, and I've asked numerous times, and for the record...
When you say presentment, what do you mean by presentment?
Presentment of the charging instrument for set-off and settlement, sir. I am the settler.
I just told you what it is. I told you what your charge. What I told you what the individual
presentment.
David Hall did.
Judge.
Yes, sir.
I will require somebody to make me a presentment of the charging instrument on paper so that I may settle that matter. I'm here as settler, and I'm happy to settle this charge.
Okay, we're not settling. Today's not the day to settle matters for these kind of charges, all right? We don't settle them today, all right?
May I say something else for the record, sir?
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I am secured party under a UCC filing at the Secretary of State, 201-308-717-006.
Okay.
I am secured party to David Hall on the record. And through a filing at the Secretary of State, sir. I appear here today as the settler, agent, not the person, but the individual. And I don't think I should have, you understand the
so
difference
the
between
settler,
a person and an individual.
The agent, and you're the individual, but you're not the person. Is that correct?
Correct.
Got
correct.
It. Let me. I'm going to write that down. Settler. Agent. An individual. But you're not the person. Got it. I think, I think it was last week you told me this too. And I was a little uncertain, but it's all become very clear now. Now, okay, the settler, the agent, the individual, but he's not the person. Okay, so does the settler, the agent, the individual have any money in the bank?
Yes.
Okay, how much money does the settler, the agent, the individual have in the bank?
I'm not certain at this time, sir.
Okay.
Only that I will give it an affirmative that there is money in a bank account.
Okay. And how long has the settler, the agent, and the individual lived in Broward County?
25 years, sir.
Okay, does the settler, agent, individual own any property in Broward County other than personal effects?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, does the person own any property or have any money in the bank?
In conjunction with myself, sir, in conjunction with myself, we both have. Yes, I'm the agent for that account also.
Okay, got it. Okay, so now. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do. The settler, the agent, the individual, and maybe even the person, David Hall, has been charged with DUI. DUI, while the settler, the agent, and even the person, David Hall, was out on bond on two cases, one felony and one misdemeanor, for license suspended. So the court believes that the settler, the agent, the individual, and even the person, David Hall, represents a danger to the community because the settler, the agent, the individual, and even the person continues to drive without a valid driver's license, in fact, a suspended driver's license in the state of Florida. And so that being said, the court is going
may,
to...
May I make a correction, sir?
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm traveling. You used the term driving, and I was traveling, sir. Traveling.
Okay. All right. So the settler, the agent, the individual, or the person, David Hall, for traveling on a public highway or public road in the state of Florida, was allegedly doing so without a valid driver's license and has done it several times in the past. So today...
This is alleged, sir?
Yes, sir, it is alleged.
Allegedly?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So today, the court's going to set the settler, the agent, the individual's bond, and even the person's bond today, on count four at $10,000, because the settler, the agent, the individual, and the person has not stopped driving, even though the settler, the agent, the individual, and the person continues to drive without a driver's license. So, that being said, count one is $500, count four is $10,000, and the court will revoke the bond for the settler, the agent, the individual, and even the person of David Hall on 14-016-582-CF-10 and 14-05-3909-TC-30A. Both cases will cause the settler, the agent, the individual, and even the person, David Hall, not to be able to be released from the Broward County Jail until further notice of the court. So.
May I post bond, sir?
Well,
is there any other?
Are you asking me as the settler, the agent, the individual, or are you asking me as the person?
Sir, I'm asking as the individual appearing before you today about this matter.
Well, the the settler, the agent, the individual, or the person can post the bond. However, the settler, the agent, or the individual, David Hall, will not be released in any event because this court is revoking the bond on a felony case and a misdemeanor case on the settler, the agent, the individual, and the person, David Hall.
Where's my remedy, sir?
Well, whose remedy are you asking for? The settler, the agent, the individual, or the person?
I'm asking for the opportunity.
Who are you speaking on behalf of right now?
Sir, I don't understand that question. I believe that you're trying to confuse me now.
No, I'm not.
I'm simply separating myself from the person. They are two different entities,
right,
and I know
the
that.
The court is not viewing you as two different people. The court is viewing you as
one entity, sir,
for the purpose of these cases.
Then what entity are you referring to me as?
Because I'm referring to the David Hall, who's the settler, the agent, the individual, and the person.
I'm not the person, sir.
Okay,
I am not
the person, David Hall. Tell him he's not leaving jail either, all right?
Sir, then may I ask what my remedy is? Can you provide me a remedy so that
I may... The remedy is, you don't really have a remedy where you could appeal it to the 4th District Court of Appeal.
How long am I going to be held, sir?
Until
I would like
another
to settle
judge
this matter.
Tells you can be released.
I would like to settle this matter, sir.
We're not going to settle it today.
Then I'm being denied my... For the record, I'm being denied my remedy.
What do you think your remedy is?
Remedy is being denied. For the record, I am the real individual, and this action is under color of law, and I don't understand this color of law action.
Okay. Well, have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Come on. Down the middle. Let's roll. It's over.
All right. Sorry about that, Mr. Miller.
Your Honor, I was expecting it, so.
Yeah, but you didn't tell your boss.
Yes, sir.
Do you see how important that identity is and how important that judge needed to make him that corporate commercial person?
Well, and he just did.
For the record?
I was just going to say he just took all of those people and combined them into one and wished him a good day. And, when am I going to be released? I don't know, when another judge reviews it and decides to let you out or not.
Right, right.
So, fortunately,
David Hall did not say, I am a living flesh and blood man. He did say, I'm not a corporation, but he didn't object to every single time he was called a person. And I counted them, John. That judge called him a person 33 times.
Well, he's in court denying the existence of their little corporate cutter entity.
Right.
You know, little corporate citizen that they have jurisdiction over.
Right.
So where is this case now? Do you know?
I don't know, but the judge admitted that he had a week to think about it. So when he went and heard this guy, he was already prepared to trick him into consenting to be the legal fiction person. And you could see that he wasn't going to stop. He kept repeating those titles and ignoring the fact there was a living flesh and blood man in front of him. And that's why it's so important that people understand how this commercial system works. They're coming against that all caps name, and that they want you to go in there and agree to be that all caps name. Hence, they get to put you in jail and make money off of you. And they don't have any compunction about doing it either, as you could hear.
Man, oh man. Well,
that's why I'm hoping people start to understand how this corporate commercial legal system works.
No, I would have preferred that the guy not been up there on drunk driving or just driving without a license. They charged him felony. Evidently, he's done this enough times that they decided to charge him with driving without a license. And I guess after, I don't know what it is in Florida, but after so many times, they can then start charging you as a felon.
Well, and of course, the question he brought up, he said, alleged, and we don't know. All we know is some cop may have charged him. We don't know if they could prove their case. We don't know that he wasn't set up, do we? But that's what they're calling justice. Now, you don't see that on TV, but this is the kind of tragedy that happens in our courtrooms across the country every day.
I would have loved to somebody with this kind of information go up against that little wench that they did TV court dramas with, Judge Judy. That little creature. Oh God. She was a vampire in black clothes. Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
Hey there. Very interesting. Very good show. The one thing that I saw there was that he did not continue to argue with the judge that he was not a driver. He should have asked him what evidence he had that he was a driver and not a traveler.
Right.
I fought one of these things with just a 10-cent parking ticket, but the reason I called was I fought a utility company over a $10 occupational privilege tax, and they tried to charge everybody in the company that worked there $10 for an occupational privilege tax. So I went and dug it up and looked at it, and it was the definition of it was a tax on the employer, and it was determined by the number of employees that they had working. So I went back to the payroll, and I fought it and fought it and fought it, and they finally said, look, we'll drop the $10. Just don't tell anybody else.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A privilege tax. Whose privilege? Yeah. Yours or theirs?
Well, no, theirs. Yeah. It was their privilege, but they were passing the tax to the employees. And I said, it's not a tax on me. It's a tax on you. Why do I have to pay your taxes? And the guy said, look, let's take it off. Don't tell anybody else.
God,
I don't want to have a flood of people in here.
You know, when you shine a little light on these creatures, they just start backtracking.
Well, it's kind of like you're shining a radar antenna on them, and they start to shrivel up and melt into the ground.
I'm melting.
All right.
Yes, help me. Okay, right. Buddy, have a good one.
Hey, thanks.
Show.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, by the way, did you email me? Did you get anywhere?
Not yet. I emailed Dan. I'm waiting to try to get a phone number for that place because they have no phone number listed. You have to do it all by text. Isn't that great?
Okay, well, just for if the listeners are wondering what we're discussing here, it's our archives aren't totally down. What we've discovered is some people are able to get into the archives and some people aren't.
Yeah, we're going to get it fixed. I fix the phones. I'm going to fix this.
Yeah. Well, you fixed the privilege tax guy.
Well, that was years ago. That was 1987.
Well, and do you think things have gotten any better or any worse?
Oh, it's absolutely gotten worse.
Well, yeah, so you were fighting a battle when you could still win the war. All right, Tom.
People just don't understand. If we all fought every traffic ticket that you got, I don't care if it's a 10-cent ticket or a $1,000 ticket, if everybody went to court and fought every ticket, the system would crumble because they couldn't handle the load. They make these fines just enough to where they can squeeze you hard, but it's not enough for you to take off work and lose a day of pay or, you know, get in trouble for taking off and garbage like that. So they know that little point right there where they can squeeze you and not end up. But if everybody went to court, they'd fill the docket, Speedy Trial Act, right out the door.
Right. So, all right. Tom, I appreciate your call very much. By the way, on the driver issue here, we've got Kansas that they were setting up stuff, check lanes. And, of course, this is for the enforcement, for you to have a license so you could go hunting. And they were physically checking your car to see if you had any wild game in there or anything else. And, oh, by the way, they were checking to see if you had a valid driver's license. Now, if you didn't have a license, you had a quail stuffed in your glove compartment, you couldn't produce a license, you got a ticket. If you couldn't produce a license to drive said motor vehicle on said highway, you got a ticket, and chances are you went to jail. You know, they're doing, out in California, they're doing driver checkpoints, which the Supreme Court has ruled that sobriety check lanes are legal, and now they're doing the swabs on you for drug content, but also they're putting you now into a database with your DNA. When is this going to stop, Al Whitney?
Well, I'll tell you, as long as we agree to be the legal person and we act like the legal person and they inflict their statutory corporate rules on us, it's not going to stop. But the caller, when he said he asked the question, That is the beginning of the war, is when we start to ask, what obligates me to this? What obligates me to that? Please send it, you know, please provide it for me. And not enough people, we have become, I'm afraid, tax and code slaves, and not enough people are asking, by what authority are you doing this since you're just a corporation? We really need to be all asking questions and challenging them every minute.
Oh, but wait a minute, wait a minute. We got Donald J. Trump that's going to take the CEO seat in the office of the presidency of the Corporation of the United States of America. And he's going to be head of 400 different agencies, and he's got the country to run, and the executive his little board that he's got to put together, and well, he's going to do wonderful things. All the people that went out there to vote for Donald Trump, the only thing that they did was reaffirmed with the federal government that they are a citizen of the United States, the corporate entity.
Excellent, John. That's exactly right.
That's why I didn't go out and vote. Oh, I haven't had a driver's license in 25 years. Haven't voted since Jimmy frickin' Carter.
Good for you. That's wonderful.
Well,
that means you're awake and aware.
Yes, but you should see the expressions on cops' faces when they pull me over. Well, sir, your license is expired. And I said, well, good, you can't get me for driving under suspended now, can you? Well, I can write you a ticket. Well, you could, but, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The judge ain't going to like you. he ain't gonna appreciate you, because I'm going to cause all kinds of consternation and crap in that courtroom, and he's going to look any ticket that comes into him that's signed by you. He's going to be holding his breath.
Good for you. Now, more people need to have that attitude, honestly.
Well, I mean, I look. I've been fighting the system for many years. Yeah. I mean, I went into the United States military. They violated the contract, and I told them I quit. They looked at me and laughed and says, what do you mean you quit? Nobody's ever quit the United States Army. I said, you're looking at him. You violated my contract, and I'm quitting. Well, they threatened to throw me in Fort Leavenworth for 2.5 years. I said, look, if the government spent all this money to train me to work on helicopters, and you think my duty station should be in bars, behind bars, at Fort Leavenworth, if that's where I got to spend my hitch, fine, 2.5 years, let's go. I'm ready to go right now. They threatened me for 2 weeks, Al. Finally, they rescinded the orders. I picked, joined for an extra year, picked my duty station, my training, Germany. They recut the orders, violated the original contract, wanted to send me to Vietnam to get shot up in one of those stinking tin cans that you got at your life expectancy is about 30 seconds in combat. And wow. I said no.
Wow. I didn't know that, John.
At 18 years of age. And I was scared because I had never seen so much fruit salad on a guy's uniform in my entire life. And the first thing that was out of his mouth, what are you, some kind of pinko commie faggot? It was not a good afternoon. But guess what? Yours truly did not go to Fort Leavenworth. Al good. Whitney, I appreciate it. Your show, Defensive Humanity, which I now appreciate as being more important than ever, is on Saturday evenings, folks, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Now I know why you wanted the other hour.
Thanks, John. I was happy to talk with you tonight. You enlightened me as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, Al's going to do something special. We're going to be off Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which is Saturday and Sunday, and we're going to give a special presentation of what?
A Christmas Carol reading. The actual text, instead of all these movies where they
cool.
add this and they take away that.
Cool.
This is actually
we're out of time. Thanks, Al. We're out of here. Thank you, folks, for being here.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilo Ji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilo Ji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.